Well, guys, welcome to another episode of Millennials in Ministry. I'm your host, Erin V. Lashley, and today I am privileged to be interviewing Alex Hands, who is the owner-operator of the Foolies clothing brand. It's empowering Black millennials to foolishly live out their dreams while rocking gear. So, Alex, thanks for being on the show, man. How are you tonight?
I appreciate it. My only request, my homies call me Nemo, so you can reference me as Nemo. So,
All right, Nemo it is. Nemo it is.
cool.
So Nemo, when you got started, like growing up, what was it life like for you? And did you always want to be a business owner?
Right, cool. So, intro story is basically what we're talking now. So, for those who don't know, my name is Alex, but friends call me Nemo. Grew up in Miami, Florida, somewhere around maybe fifth, sixth grade. My mom got diagnosed with breast cancer. She passed away when I was in the sixth grade. And that was elementary school. When I got to middle school and high school, I guess I got tired of wearing like hand-me-downs and like old shoes and gear. And so I was like, man, quick way to make money. I don't necessarily want to deal dope because that's just not my swag. I don't care to go to jail for this. But I figured I could sell like chips and juice, you know what I'm saying? So my thought process was I'd sell hot Cheetos and Doritos
Yeah.
and Airheads and all stuff.
I would have been a great customer. I love all that stuff.
Exactly. And when they say don't get high on your own supply, I used to eat all my own stuff as well. So that is a real statement, no matter what kind of weight you're selling. But yeah, so I would sell chips and juice, and that kind of became the thing. But I didn't think of it as like an entrepreneur because that was maybe 99, 2000s, I guess. I don't remember the time. But I would just use that to make money, and I wanted to buy cooler clothes and kicks so I could I guess appeal to my friends, the people around me. So I wanted to get the Iceberg t-shirts and the Reeboks. If you're from Miami, Reeboks are everything. So I wanted to get the Gangsterees and wanted to have the jerseys. I wanted to have the throwback jerseys, all that stuff that that was super appealing. I wanted that. And so I figured, hey, like I said, I would actually sell chips and juice to do that. And that became kind of like the beginning of like my entrepreneurship. But I had no idea that it was going to evolve and turn into, all this other stuff. But that was the fire that lit under my kind of heels, if you will. And then I like used to work at Wendy's. I used to work at car washes. The car wash was probably the greatest hustle ever though, because you'd wash. So if you washed for my car wash that I was at, if you washed a car, it was $3. If you washed a truck, it was $5. The owners would get like $10 a car or $15 a truck. And so that's where I started understanding like business even more, because I'm like, dang it, I'm only getting the $3 cut. I'm only getting the $5 cut. But I was still able to make maybe in a Friday and Saturday, maybe $200, because I would mathematically map out like, okay, well, how much money do I need to make to do this or to buy this or to get this? And then that wasn't counting tips. So I would get tips, all of that too. So I would like clean everybody's car like nobody's business and go above and beyond and like really like, hook them up with the air freshener. And when I greet them, it's like, hey, how are you? My name's Alex. I want to, and like that customer service swag. It really had to kick up because I wanted a tip, when I was done. I wanted to make sure that I was actually getting something extra than just my $3 to $5 a car or truck. So you go beyond and you develop relationships with the different drivers because they would come back and they'd be like, oh, I want Alex to wash my car. You know what I'm saying? And like you, if you made a good rapport, you hooked them up, signed the rims, you made everything look pretty, at some point they'd be like, oh, I don't want nobody else touching my car but him. And so that's also how I made my hustle as well. So I tried to be the very best, you know what I'm saying, when it came to washing cars, because I knew customers would come back asking for me. And sometimes people, the car wash industry is crazy because sometimes people come back and get their car washed weekly, every 2, 3 days. Like some people love their cars, but come back you know, I'm the person they want to use. And I'm sure, you know, I never thought about it until like this moment. I'm sure some people probably dope boys and that kind of stuff. But in my mind, I'm just thinking cars. And
Yeah.
so,
And how
you know,
old were
they.
you when you were doing the car wash? How old were you?
That was probably anywhere between like 7th and like 8th, 9th grade.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken, it was so long ago that I can't like remember the
Gotcha.
exact dates.
That's
But
still
I knew
great,
I was
though.
at that. I knew I could only do that job because you had to be 16 years old to work at an actual place, because at the time, at least, that was the age for a minor. So I think as soon as I turned 16, I started working at Wendy's. Once again, customer service had to be a big deal. You know, I wanted to get out of the lifestyle of the car wash, and I wanted to get a little bit more like legitimate. But when you got in there, it's like your shirt needs to be pressed, your pants need to be, you know, ironed. You know, when you greet people, it's, "Hey, how are you? Welcome to Wendy." You know, saying like you had to really put on, not necessarily a show, but you had to represent the company as best as possible. So, interesting enough, while I'm talking to you, I'm thinking about how I've had all this customer service. So, but I just didn't know. I didn't pay attention to it. But my thing was always go above and beyond. You know, always genuinely greet people and show everybody that they're important, that they're valuable. And that was always a thing. I just did that because it just felt like the right thing to do. I didn't, and I knew it would get me somewhere as far as like my job goes, or you know, bigger tips, like whatever that was. Like it made sense in my head, so I did it regardless of what I got. But I just did it because it made sense. So that's where all the entrepreneurial stuff really was getting birthed. Once again, I had no clue that, you know, later on I would start, you know, a clothing company and all this other stuff, but that was the beginning.
That's awesome. And just a quick shout out to the graphic beauty. I see you guys on here. David, see you on here. He says he loves your Ninja Turtle banner behind you. So shout out to that. And I just thank you guys so much for joining us as we do this interview live. But that's really cool, Nemo, just about the customer service aspect you have, because I was reading some articles on you and how I believe that that's carried over even into how you run your company and the personalized notes and the personalized videos that you do. But I discovered you, just to give you a little bit of context of how I discovered you, I was listening to the audiobook of Gary Vaynerchuk's book, Crushed It, and all the different testimonies that are in there, and I'm listening, and your story stuck out to me. One, because I'm a Black millennial, and that's part of like, how you exist. But two, just the hustle you had, from being on the couch and kind of being in the dumps in your head, getting up and doing something. And then I would love for you to tell that story for those who don't know. You were watching the Emmys, I believe, and tweeted something or posted something and got traction, turned into a t-shirt. Can you just kind of recap that story for us?
So for those who, you know, have no idea who this random guy is, so I have a clothing company called Foolies, and Foolies are people who are so passionate to live out their goals and dreams that they're called fools. And so my goal, while I made this company in the inception, I was a rapper, and well, I still rap, but whatever. But as a rapper, you know, saying like every rapper has an audience, and with your audience, like they need an identity. So I remember starting to look into the world of like rapping and doing music, and actually Googling, when Googling was like kind of the new thing. I was like, how do you build an audience? Or like, how do rappers build fans? And so I Googled something like that. And then this article came up, about Wiz Khalifa and how like he had this movement or a group called Taylor Gang, and everything that he did was wrapped around Taylor Gang. So it was like, you know, I remember listening to Wiz, and everything was like Taylor Gang or die, and that was kind of the thing. And if you watched videos, you watched a lot of his early stuff, he would always be yelling out Taylor Gang. So eventually, crazy enough, I met a guy once. I used to work at AT&T as well, some more customer service stuff, but I met a guy who had Taylor Gang tatted on him. And so like, you know, now, like, you know, from the moment I read that article to going in a little bit further into the future and seeing someone having that on them, I was like, man, coming up with a brand or an identity for your audience is super smart. So I was like, all right, cool. What I will do is I need to come up with a name. So me and my brother of another color, and another mother was like sitting down and just coming up with concepts. And I think we were doing a bunch of different stuff, and somewhere we stumbled along the lines of like, man, this is foolish, man. We're foolish to be doing this. And then I think we kind of played around with the concept of like, yeah, we foolies, and then kind of like ran with it. And that was just something I yelled out in my music. So every time I would start a song, I'd be like, foolies, it's the movement. And that was just kind of how we started the tracks. Yeah,
that's
so
cool.
That became part of the music. That became part of what I would yell out. You know, I eventually like ironed on the word foolies into like a dirty, like white shirt. And like we went to Walmart, got a laser, we had a laser inkjet printer, but we had to get like the printing thing where you can like print out stuff and then like iron it onto your clothes. So that's what we did first. And we just had a shirt that said foolies on it. And like, that was like our first tee. And what I would do is I call it the Damon John effect. I would put a shirt on a friend, take a picture of it, take it off of them, go to another person, put the shirt on them, take a picture and take it off of them.
Yeah.
And then I would post these photos like, oh man, people are buying their shirts. I was kind of flexing, but well, I was very much so flexing, whatever. And then eventually people were like, yo, we know you yelled that out in the music. Where can I get my Foolie shirt? So in my head, I'm like, oh man, people want this. Like at first it was kind of like a joke, but then people were like, oh yeah, we want one. So that's kind of how like Foolies kind of erupted out of music. But then fast forwarding to a lot of these days start to like really leave me. But around 2016, 2015-ish, I saw the Emmys and Regina King and I believe Taraji, Regina King and Viola Davis. They both won awards. It was like their first like Emmys, and I think this was kind of coming off the backlash of like Oscar So White and all this other stuff, and these like award shows just not like highlighting Black people. So this came right on that high of all of that. And so I watched these clips of these two women speaking, Viola and Regina King, at like 5 a.m. 6 a.m. in the morning, 6-ish, 6:15-ish, and I was moved to tears.
Wow.
And I was like, man, I gotta do something for these girls. Like, I don't know what I can do. Like, I'm just one guy. Like, I got this t-shirt thing, but like, you know. And I started a company in 2011-ish. So you know, for people who can, you know, see the track record. And so I was like, man, I gotta do something for these girls. I don't know. I was like, you know what? Like, I wasn't intending to put words on t-shirts per se, but I wanted to make a graphic. Me and my COO, her name's Kimberly. She's like a biggest asset, you know, for my company now. Reason why we're even where we are is, you know, partially because of her. But I remember us having a conversation that we need to put out more content about the brand, even if it's not a t-shirt, and even if we're not selling something, we need to still be encouraging people to live out their dreams, because that's what the mission of Foolies is about. Mm-hmm. So whether, you know, because at first we were just posting shirts and trying to, like, I guess flex, like everybody was buying a shirt all the time, and that wasn't the case. But we got to a point where, like, we need to be making content regardless of shirts being sold. And so kind of fast forwarding back to the, you know, the Viola Davis and the Regina King stuff, I just started writing out on a graphic, like, be strong like Regina. Like write like Shonda. Like I was just thinking about all the dope Black girls.
Yeah.
And it was one of my homegirls at the time, Lachey. And I might be getting the name wrong because, like I said, a lot of the stuff is she has a blog and she goes by like Everyday Girl. But nonetheless, we were talking. I sent her some of the content and she was like, "Oh, well, you should do like Be First like Taraji." And then like she came up with a couple more things. And then I sent it to the graphic beauty who was actually on here. I sent it to her. It's like, what do you think of this graphic? I was like, you know, I want to post it, but I don't want to seem cheesy. I don't want to, like, try to, like, flex or whatever as if I'm riding some wave. And she was like, oh, this is dope. You going to make it into a shirt? And I was like, nah, I'm not trying to make this into no shirt. I just want to, like, post this graphic. Because a lot of our apparel were just phrases like dream without limits, faith over fear. So it wasn't anything where I was putting names on tees. I was like, that's swag, whatever. I just want to encourage people. So I just want to drop this post.
Mm-hmm.
Then I sent it to another young lady. I guess you can call him my black dope women board directors. It didn't have a name, but that's just what it was. And so I put it to another homegirl named Melissa, and I was like, what do you think of this graphic? And she was like, oh my God, this made my day. And I was like, you think I should post it? And she was like, yeah, you should post it. So I posted it online probably like maybe 8 in the morning, 8:15, 8:30. It was right before I was going into work because I work full time. Yeah. And so I went into work, and the graphic, it was just a graphic, and I was posted. And, you know, throughout the morning, like 9-ish, 9:15-ish, 9:30-ish, I kept getting pinged and buzzed on my phone. I'm like, man, did somebody add me to like some whack behind Facebook group promoting something to me? I'm like, man, why is my phone like buzzing? Or am I, because I have an Android phone, for all you haters out there with your iPhone.
No, we got Android too. Shout out.
We're here. So I thought maybe I got added to some group message, because when iPhoners add me to group messages, you just get a bunch of alerts and I can't really respond in the order that they want me to. So I was like, what is this? So I looked at the graphic and I saw like 30, 40 shares, and I was like, okay, whatever. Cool. And then somebody asked on the graphic, it was like, where's Lupita? Because it didn't have all the girls on it. So it was like, where's Lupita? And I was like, maybe the next one I'll post. Yeah. Like, I wasn't really thinking about it. And then this young lady, her name is Lovey Ajayi, she commented on the post. And if you don't know Lovey, Lovey is like the black African, like, slayer of all things of the interwebs. Like, she's the... So she commented on the post, and she was like, Alex, is this your graphic? And I knew who she was, and I was like, yeah, it is this mine's or whatever. So I'm here like cheesing like a little school girl. And she and then I think I messaged her, or she messaged me, and we were talking, and she was like, you need to get your coins. So here's what we're about to do. She's like, I'm gonna help you add some names to this. So she added like Queen Latifah, she added the Shine Like Lupita, and she added a couple more names, and she was like, you need to get your coins. And so, funny enough, like, my job, I was pretty much free most of the day. Mm-hmm. But as he was talking to me, it was like maybe 11:30, 12-ish, 1-ish. All of a sudden, everything got busy at work. Like, nothing was happening the entire day until this exact moment. So I was talking to my COO, and I'm like, Kim, Lovey's hitting us up in the chat. I need you to jump, like, I'm going to add you to this chat, and I need you to talk to her because work is getting busy, and I really want this to happen. I don't know what's going to happen, but I just want something to happen. And so Lovey put me on this site called Teespring. Teespring sells apparel, and they actually ship it and send it to your home or whatever. So Lovey adds me, then I add Kim, and Kim and Lovey's talking, and then they're talking about how to arrange a shirt and how to, like, style it, because the way they styled it was, like, important. And so they're talking, going back and forth. And then I guess they're like, all right, cool, we're going to make this into a tee. So they make it into a t-shirt on Teespring. And then Lovey posted it on her page for a couple hours, or I dropped it, or I think I dropped it in a comment section. Because also, she shared the, so I didn't know that she shared the post. And so what started happening on her timeline, you saw women in the comment section like, is this a t-shirt? Where is this t-shirt? Take my money. Da-da-da-da-da. You know, all these like black girl phrases. They're going off. And so, you know, all of this is happening, and she's telling us to make the shirt, and finally we you know, I'm literally starting to get hella busy. I'm immersed in work now, and my COO kind of finishes everything off, and then I go in and make a couple posts here and there with the t-shirt. So that was like 2015, 2016. Cool, you know what I'm saying? A lot of waves happen. Things, you know, kind of sort of viral. Ava DuVernay, who's also on the shirt, she retweeted, like, the initial graphic. Not the shirt itself, but the initial graphic. So all these girls were tweeting and posting and sharing it. But then the shirt drops and things happen. So what ends up evolving is that later, you know, 2016, 2017-ish, like I said, I apologize for not knowing the exact dates, because a lot of stuff is a blur now. But I think it was 2016. I get an email in February from Essence. And Essence is like, hey, we saw your apparel. It kind of floated across our desk. We would love to be able to have, you know, maybe like a couple shirts, 15, 20 shirts to use at our event, because we're going to have a young female choir singing. And with this young female choir, we want them to wear their apparel while, you know, at the event. So I got it. I when I got the email, I was asleep. At the time, it's weird, but I used to sleep on my floor because I had this whole thing about wanting to stay grounded. So nice. I was like, I don't want a bed. I'm too comfortable. Like, I need to act like I'm grinding and like I'm at the, you know, whatever. Yeah. So that was silly, but I was sleeping on the floor. Mm-hmm. So my CEO calls me. She's like, hey, Essence just emailed us. What are we going to do? I'm like, I don't know. I'm sleeping. Leave me alone. And like, I hung up the phone. So once I was like, oh my God, Essence emailed us. And like, I was like, so rude. And I was like, I'm sorry, Kim. Like, what are we talking about? What are we supposed to be doing now? So, you know, everything happened with the Essence thing. So once again, fast forwarding, whenever they emailed me, they needed the shirts like next weekend. You know what I'm saying? I don't have these shirts on me. You know what I'm saying? I stopped like printing in bulk because it just got too stressful to have boxes and boxes of shirts in my house. Plus, right. You never want to piss a black woman off on like the time of her order. Like, if you ever want to ruin your whole swag, like, make her order get there late and you will never have a customer again. And so, so with that, you know, she, so we worked everything out. I had to get her like shirts by the next like either that Sunday or the next Thursday, like whenever it was. But the event for Black Women in Hollywood was coming up, which they host. Huh. And so I needed to get her everything to be ready for Black Women in Hollywood. Okay. So I called this random company. I was like, hey, this is my situation. I need you to print T-shirts for me. But I need it ASAP. Also, I need you guys to ship these shirts over to L.A. because that's where the event is. And they're like, I guess we could do that. You know what I'm saying? And they was like, do you want to see the shirts first? And I was like, I have no time to see the shirts. I just need this to happen. And then I was just like praying and hoping because they could have shipped the shirts and it got lost. Right. They could have shipped the shirts and it never got there. Or like, hey, we forgot and it's still in our office. We'll get it there. But everything worked. They shipped it. I paid all the extras for it. A couple of my homies, my best friends, I have two best friends, and then I have this, another homegirl I call my fave. So they all helped me to pay for this because I didn't have the money to like strum up 20, 30 shirts or 20, 15, 20 shirts. Sure. So we got all the shirts, sent it to LA. I crossed my fingers, prayed to like, look, God, look, I don't know what I need. I don't know if I've done anything wrong. Just forgive me of all of it. You just took the boy up. Please. So they get the shirts. And at the event itself, they show the shirt a couple of days, or they at the event, it happens first, but it's taped and then it's aired live later. Mm-hmm. So, I think I watched the stream tried to watch through streams of the event, couldn't really see it. Tried to see if I can follow any hashtags of Black Women in Hollywood and see if somebody posts it.
Yeah.
We get a ping later in that day, and this ping is on Instagram. And, like, if you follow Essence and their content is very polished, so everything's designed. You can tell they sit down with their design teams and make all this stuff happen. They're not just posting haphazardly. You're not going to see any poor quality photos or just any random photo. That's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
But this ping is actually a group of the young girls who sang. Hmm. Hanging and posing with Oprah Winfrey. So she didn't have on a shirt, but the girls around her all had on the shirts. Wow. And so Oprah was trying to show the little girls how to take a selfie. I guess Oprah was trying to school them. And so I get this ping, and it's the girls with my shirt on next to Oprah, and they're all hugging. And I'm like, oh my God. And so I repost to my page and on my timeline. All this stuff goes crazy. So this is a very long story. I wish I could make a long story short, but this is a long story long, so I apologize.
That's okay.
So now we talk about the airing of the show. Mm. This event comes on, Black Women in Hollywood, it happens every year. So this event is now on, aired on OWN Network.
Yeah.
So it's like Sunday, probably 8-ish, 9-ish. And so I'm watching the show, and I'm actually watching this show through my homegirl Skype named Sasha because I didn't have cable. So I need to watch this show. So I'm watching the show through her Skype. She got her TV set up to look, or her laptop set up to look at the TV, and I'm on the other side. I'm like, please, I need to watch this show because I need to see if the shirts get shown or not. So the event happens and everything goes, but like, I don't see the shirts at any point in the show. I'm like, dang it, man. Like, I guess they cut the segment. Like, I guess it just couldn't air. And so I was like, okay, well, you know, God, thank you. You know what I'm saying?
I got that photo with Oprah. That's cool.
Right. So, you know, we got a good run. Cool. You know what? You know, as opposed to speaking life and be like, no, what's going to happen? Like, I was kind of like trying to just be on the best positive foot of things. But there was like a final, like last 5, 7, 10 minutes. And so the last 7 or 10 minutes was the girls singing. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh my gosh. And like, you know, these girls have on my shirt. I'm like, oh, this is so amazing. My homegirl's sending pictures. She's sending me like through like the TV to my actual like Messenger or Skype or whatever. And then I had a certain, like, sudden moment where my heart fell in my, like, stomach because I was like, but I put the logo on the back of the shirt.
Oh, for fool.
So I was like, right. So I was like, you don't know whose shirt that is. Right. You know what I'm saying? That's anybody's shirt up there. Like, that could be Essence's shirt. That could be O'Neill's shirt. Like, I done messed up. So I was like, you know what? Hey, you know, I know it was there. That's all I could go for.
Right.
But right after the show happened, I get another alert on Twitter. And I don't normally get, like, messages on Twitter because nobody really uses Twitter anymore.
Yeah.
But I guess Shonda Rhimes, I guess, somehow found out that I've made the tease. And she tagged me on Instagram. You know how you can send your Instagram post to Twitter?
Right.
So I guess she tagged me and it hit my Foolies clothing page. And it said, this is the guy who made the shirts, you know, go support him or whatever. Wow. So Shonda Rhimes with the heavy big boy retweet.
Jeez.
And like, at that moment, like, my timeline is going crazy. Like, all these girls, like, oh my God, take my money. Take it now. I want, you know, and like, these girls are going crazy.
Wow.
And so, wow, this is just like super incredible. That all of this stuff is happening, and like, this was just a graphic that I posted last year, and it wasn't supposed to be a shirt, and all this stuff that evolved into what, you know, saying like people are seeing right now, and Shonda with the retweet. So like, that was kind of like the like cosign of cosign, because I kind of felt weird about putting their name on tees, but you know, my thought process is give people roses while they can still smell them, kind of deal.
Yeah.
And what also happened too, so I didn't know. But one of the little girls who had on the shirt was the daughter of Erica Campbell.
Wow.
And so what started happening was Erica Campbell was super excited for her daughter to be wearing, or not even wearing a shirt, but to be singing at OWN's Black Women in Hollywood event.
Right.
So that entire night, she was taking photos of her daughter and then posting it to her Instagram page.
Wow.
And every time she would make these posts, she would, like, they have photos with Tracee Ellis Ross.
Mm-hmm.
They have photos with, like, Diana Ross's son. They have photos with Zendaya, like, all these amazing women.
Wow.
But it was, like, product placement.
Yeah.
So then all these girls in Erica Campbell's timeline is like, what is this? Where is that shirt? I need to know now. And so, like, friends who follow them were tagging me, like, yo, this is the guy. Go to his page, blah, blah, blah. So, like, that caused a whole nother wave of people coming back to find out, like, what was going on or what is this guy doing? And that kind of, like, all of this just, like, exploded.
Yeah.
So this, that's like cool. I said, long story long.
Yeah.
But, like, This all just came out of the fact that I just wanted to support and highlight dope Black women because I just felt like it wasn't happening enough. And I was like, I can't do much. I just got this, you know, small clothing company, but I'm going to do just what's on my heart. And I'm going to make this post. And, like, I don't care if it doesn't go anywhere or not. I know where my heart is, and I know what I'm trying to do, which is to make sure everybody knows that Black women ring bells and that they should be paid more or given more attention or should be running a company. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but but I'm going to highlight black women in Hollywood because awesome. I have a long-term goal where I actually want to fund black films. And I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I just know I'm going to be the guy that's funding black films one day where if they want to do a Get Out or Us or those kind of movies, or they want to do a black superhero like a Black Panther, they don't have to worry about Hollywood co-signing and giving them money. They can just talk to me.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, you know, if Ava comes to me, or maybe some up and coming director comes to me and she's like, hey, I got this amazing idea. Yeah. I'm trying to do da 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 da. I'm like, cool. Does 2.5 million sound good? Like, I want to be able to get to that point where I can do that. So this shirt essentially, not this one I have on, but the shirt essentially was me planting that seed into the black film industry. And that's why we highlighted black women in Hollywood. Because people were like, well, why don't you put Misty Copeland on a shirt? Why don't you put, like, just naming just dope black women? I'm like, look, I'm not taking anything away from those black women, but I just want to be in this niche where I want to focus on black women in the entertainment space. That's how we started, and that's what we want to continue doing. I don't want to play around. Like, I have other shirts that highlight Michelle Obama and a few other people, but for that particular shirt, for a couple of these particular shirts, I just want to highlight black women in Hollywood because while they're doing a lot, there's not a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the sucky part is like, it's tough finding names sometimes for some of these shirts because they're not as evident as they should be. But this has also caused me to do research and find out who's running things behind the scenes. So, you know, this shirt became almost like a documentary in the making or a lesson. But yeah, the big kind of long term is the kind of fun black film. So that's kind of like an underlying of all the content stuff that I'm doing. So long story.
No, it's great. I appreciate the details of that, you know, because not everybody's read the book, you know, Crushed It by Gary Vee, or will read it. But I appreciate you sharing that story because it's inspirational to me. And your story's inspirational because I love that you just did what was in your heart. Because a lot of us have stuff in our hearts, but a lot of us just don't get off the couch and do what's in our hearts. And to see that that seed, like you said, was planted and all of this has grown from it, you know. So I want to ask you, too, for other millennials out there who want to make an impact in their community, what piece of advice would you give to them?
Well, I mean, you kind of, you know, alluded to it a little bit. I mean, you got to, you know, you got to do what's on your heart. And the thing is, like, we have this incredible resource, you know what I'm saying, of the internet. You know what I'm saying? Like, I remember, you know, back in my day, you know, you had to, like, wait till the album dropped for the artist, and the artist had to go through the label, and you had to go through all these hoops and ladders to get an album. But now the artist has the control. They can post to SoundCloud. They can drop an album straight from, like, their own platforms and sell directly and get all the money straight to them. Like, there's so many resources now. And so you just gotta, you know, pick up this. I mean, so we're streaming live through our smartphones and IGTV, you know what I'm saying? Like, or, you know, or IG Live. Like, this is stupid. You know what I'm saying? When you think about the grand scheme of this concept, like, this is a dumb idea. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you were to talk to somebody 20 years ago and told them, me and somebody across the globe that I've never met will be on our phones talking to, you know, hundreds or thousands of people, and our work and our messages would be spreading across the globe, they would probably look at you and be like, please excuse yourself from this table. You're an absolute fool. There is no way that if your work isn't on TV or isn't on some billboard or you don't have money for a radio ad that you would be discovered. Stop playing.
Right.
Don't lie to me. You're saying, like, there's no way. So this concept in itself is foolish. So we have this power. We have this means. So if you're a millennial or you're a baby boomer, whatever your thing is, you need to be using these platforms to your advantage.
Yeah.
And for me, my thought process is if, like, when people, I want to say haters, but, like, thinking about evil people. Mm-hmm. Evil people work incredibly hard. And evil people or negative people or just, like, certain styles of people will never get off these platforms. They will post every fight. They will post every, like, drama. They'll gossip about their friends and family. And they'll use these platforms to release all the hate that they can possibly release. Nothing against them. Not judging anybody. But the people who are not so much trying to impact the world, they don't mind using these platforms to spew whatever they want to spew, just because they're hurting, hurt people, so they don't mind using these platforms. But the good people, the people who have a message, the people who have a gift, the person who can sing like nobody's business, they're the ones, especially creatives. I hate creatives sometimes because we're the ones in our feelings, in our emotions, and we're like, I can't do this, and I'm not good enough, and I'm not Kim Kardashian, and I'm not a celebrity, and I don't have money, and they start using all of these excuses, because that's what they are. And in the same token, they're your truths. So if that's your truth, then that's your truth. But they're really just an excuse to not excel and not to be great. And when you have, you know, saying, like, speaking about, like, Nipsey Hussle that just passed away, you know, saying who's an incredible activist and entrepreneur and leader in his community, he used his social media platforms, and he would hop on these platforms to sell his products or to push his videos or to get his word out about what he's trying to do, you know, for the community. And so you can use the same tools to help build your empire or to stack your cheese or whatever you're trying to do, especially if it involves impacting other people. I mean, all of this stuff, this is all ministry. Like, my t-shirts is ministry, me on my platforms and, you know, encouraging people to go after their goals and dreams. Even if I'm not saying Jesus, 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 God, 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 and you're going to, like, die 100%. From, like, even if I'm not saying all that stuff, all of this stuff is still me being a light in the manner that I know that I was supposed to be being a light in, you know, saying whatever that is. And so I know that in the Bible, it says you need to encourage people daily. So what do? I hop on my platforms and I encourage people daily, regardless of religious, like, intent. Like, yes, it would be great if everybody became believers and started loving the Lord. But if I can encourage you, Muslim, Jew, gay, straight, like, if I can just encourage you, especially people of the culture, look, you know what I'm saying? I especially want to big up Black and brown people, you know what I'm saying? On top of that, like, I love everyone, but I love my Black and brown people. So I especially want to highlight them, and I want to make sure that they know that they can kill the game, and they know that they have opportunities, and that they can use these platforms, especially if they have good intentions behind the use of the platform. Now, I get it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you do need money eventually, and you do need certain things in place, and you do need connections. But you just heard the story of a guy who made a post that went viral, and then it became something later. You know what I'm saying? Like, I did that with $0 in my pocket while sleeping on the floor of my bedroom. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not this millionaire. You know what I'm saying? I'm not a celebrity. I'm not all of this other stuff that people would say is the means to be great. I'm a guy in my bedroom. You know what I'm saying? Like, you see me right now. I'm not walking through my mansion. I don't have a party outside. Like, I am in my bedroom making content, using my laptop, using my smartphone, watching YouTube videos and studying how to use certain gear, how to use certain equipment. You know, if you are trying to be successful in certain endeavors, that might involve you going to school. Yeah. You might not be able to go to a four-year institution or a huge university. Find a community college and literally milk those colleges that you're at, those universities that you're at, for every single resource that they're giving you. Because a lot of colleges will have, like, Photoshop labs and, like, all these tools, and you can check out cameras and all this other stuff that they were doing back at UF in 2005, 6, 7-ish, 8, until I graduated in 2009. Mm-hmm. I could imagine how many more resources they have now in 2019. But if you're in a college, that's the perfect place to start your brand. Like, I think HP and Dell started in a bedroom, you know, Steve Jobs started in his garage. Like, you know, maybe these people and their families had money. Okay, cool. You can throw that out there and try to rebuttal me. But the fact is, they still started wherever they were. You know what I'm saying? And, like, that's just what you have to do. And so if I have to be your example of starting, like, I always say, I'll post graphics on my timeline on Instagram. And I was like, to you, this is a bedroom. To me, this is my boardroom. So I need to start where I am. Yeah. And there's another guy, too. There's another guy I used to follow a little bit closer back in the day. His name is Mastin Kipp. And this guy is, like, a well-renowned public speaker. And he's, like, all over the globe with his content. He's traveling and he's international and has all these spiritual, like, healing and lessons and stuff that he does. But he said that, like, when he was coming up with content and he was making things happen, he was living in, like, the pool house of, like, his ex-girlfriend's crib or whatever, because he had nowhere to go. And he was, like, the pool house was probably, like, literally like a wall to wall, like not a lot of space, nowhere to go. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it was like a shabby little like rinky dink spot. But I guess he had a moment, like a come to Jesus moment, and God was like, that's all you need. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I just give you this small room with you and whatever smarts or capabilities that I've given you, I could have you impact the world. I can have you talk to millions. I could have you do stuff that you would never imagine you could do. And I remember watching that back in the day, and I'm like, man, if he did it in his pool house of his ex-girlfriend's crib, not even sure how you end up living with your ex-girlfriend, but or in her pool house, that must be the worst feeling ever. Then I can definitely do that in my, you know, apartment that I'm in with 3-4 other roommates or whatever, making happen and doing whatever I can, you know, saying like living a unsexy lifestyle until I can get to where I need to. And then when I get, I still need to act like I didn't get there because I don't want to get too high and mighty. So once again, if you're a millennial, if you're a young person watching this, or you'll stumble upon this, because this is for you. If you weren't watching, you're not normally online, like you found this by accident. It was not an accident. It was very intentional that you got this message. And so you need to use your resources, start where you are, go to your libraries. Like, libraries are the most untapped resource in most people's communities, where they have laptops and gear and tools and like all this equipment that they're spending money on, but they're like, nobody uses this stuff, you know what I'm saying? And you'll go to libraries and different like functions in your community that have these things built in, but you're not doing research. You're settling in your truth, which is an excuse, but your truth, you're settling in your truth. And this literally, like, you pay $1,200, $1,500, $1,600 for an iPhone, like, yeah, over time, you know what I'm saying? But you got a $1,200 device in your pocket, an $800, $900 device in your pocket. It has great photo capability. It streams live. You got all these apps like Canva and Snapseed and all these things that you can use. You can blog, you can post, you can create content from your phone. You can edit. Adobe Premiere has an app called Adobe Rush, where you can literally edit and put all the talking captions and all your video content just like as if you knew how to use Adobe Premiere. You know what I'm saying? Cool. Like, these are things and tools that are there. But for me, as a bootstrapper, I got to find all these tools to be great because I don't have the money. I don't have the resources yet. And so until I have them, I need to use whatever I have. I need to use my schooling. I need to use the local libraries. I need to use every single resource I have. And you need to be kind to everyone you meet. My favorite quote is, everybody wants to be the CEO, but the janitor has all the keys. And a lot of people don't realize that the people that you like are kind to, and that you like, from the secretaries to housekeeping to security, like, those people end up getting you in the rooms that you are not supposed to be in because they just remember, this one guy was kind to me. This one guy was not a jerk like all the other people. And you don't know, that secretary or that security guard may become the CEO. And it might be your moment where you're applying for a job and they remember your name and you get hired. And you might not even ever meet that person. You don't even know what happened. But that was that interaction from a year, 5 years, 10 years ago of you just being a good person and just making sure that you're treating everybody with the same flavor. Not because they're this, not because of that. And that'll help you get in the room. A lot of my connections that I've gotten is simply because there's just something different about that guy. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know what it is, but like, you're like, there's something about you. You know what I'm saying? And like, you know, if you were to talk to me 10 years ago, I would have told you it's me. Like, I know it's not, you know what I'm saying, anymore. You know what I'm saying? It's definitely God and whatever he put inside me. Because me personally, I'd rather be sleeping. I'd rather be chilling. Like, I'd rather be like, just doing aimless things, but he put a lot of purpose and intention in me, and he gave me this, you know, weird gift of gab that most times I feel like I'm annoying people, but I use it anyways. You know what I'm saying? So all these things given to me, I'm gonna make moves with whatever I have. And then, I mean, I don't need to go to church, but like, we've read the stories in the Bible, like people doing it with less and just staffs and like murderers and killers coming, like the guys and the girls of the Bible, like people now are looking at them like as pillars in the Bible. And it's like, if you go to their backstory, these were the worst of the worst. These were the people who are robbing and thieving, and like, and Jesus rode with all these thugs. You know what I'm saying? So for me, I can do it too. You know what I'm saying? Like, my background isn't squeaky clean. I'm not this perfect, you know, of sorts. I ain't 6 foot tall. I don't got a full beard. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't the sexiest guy on the block. Cool. All those great things, I understand. But what do I have? I have heart. I have hustle. I have drive. And I treat the people around me, you know, God willing, you know, knocking on wood, like that I'm not just talking big about myself and I'm a horrible person, but I try to treat the people around me as well as I possibly can. And I try to love on them as much as I possibly can. And those people help me. Those people push me. Those people were the same ones I called when Essence hit me up and I didn't have any money for those shirts. My friends helped me. When I wanted to go to New Orleans to actually go to Essence Fest, my friends funded that trip. My best friend bought the ticket. Like, I didn't do anything. Like, this is God and God putting people in my life to bless me because of the blessings that I've done and given out to people over the last decade or two. And whether I got anything back in return, that was not my intention. But he's going to look out for me because he see me looking out for his people and look and doing the best that I can with the small corner room, the bedroom that I turned into my boardroom, and just increased my faith. So, like, you know, on the faith side of things and the spiritual side of things, like, you just need to actually believe that things can happen for you if you put your mind to it. Now, if you come in the room and you got this weak faith and doubt and all this stuff, like, yeah, you're going to sit there. I don't need to, I'm not going to, like, give you amazing faith when you're doubting God's power. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you act like he's that big, then you won't have to worry about how are you going to get in the room? How are you going to make these contacts? And you won't have to, you know, show skin and be funny or crude or like ratchet. You know what I'm saying? Once again, not judging anybody, but you don't have to look at everyone else and be like, man, you know what? I'm going to just do what they're doing because it's working. No, you can do your own swag, do it your way, and still make that impact. Now, go study business, go study marketing, go study branding. This stuff isn't just going to happen only because your faith is big. You need to actually have some wisdom behind it. But you need to study. You need to find the free resources, find the blogs, find the websites, follow the people who are doing it well, and reverse engineer what they're doing. Figure out how they're doing it, figure out how you can do it in your small way, and then build from there. So, long answer. But I do hope that, like, people understand, like, it's going to be a series of steps and formulas and parts that makes this puzzle great. Like, you can't put a puzzle together with one or two puzzle pieces. It's going to be 35 or 300 or 5,000, and the pieces are just going to get bigger and bigger. But when they all come together, it's an amazing picture. So you just have to be patient, you know what I'm saying, in that process. And that sucks because I don't like being patient. But I understand the importance of it, though, and how that's going to get me to the next level. And usually when people are about to quit is when the breakthrough is about to happen. So
absolutely, man. So good. Well, I appreciate you being on the show, and what you're doing is inspirational, truthfully, to so many people in the Black and Brown community and people who aren't in the Black and Brown community. So thank you so much for being on here. People, please follow him, buy a shirt. I'm going to buy a shirt. I didn't buy mine yet, but I'm going to buy it and wear it and just appreciate you, man. So keep up the good work and we'll definitely stay in touch.
I appreciate you. And yeah, anybody who's listening, you know, definitely reach out to me. I'll try to respond as quickly as I can. If I don't respond quickly, I'll respond at some point. But yeah, I mean, yeah, people just need to believe in their dreams and believe in themselves. And, like, if you believe in a higher being, God or Allah, whatever your thing is, like, trust that higher power can get you to where you need to be without you having to, like, sell yourself short or do something that's just out of character. So, but that's it on my end.
It's been really good. Thank you so much. You've been a great, great guest to have on the show. And I look forward to seeing all that you do in the future.
Oh, shucks.